Well, praise the Lord and greetings to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We invite you to worship with us here at Mount Calvary Miracle Temple Apostolic Church, where our pastor is the Honorable District Elder Johnny Magnus. Please enjoy the wonderful Word of God. God bless you.
Well, praise the Lord to you. I am Minister James Pope from Mount Calvary Miracle Temple, and I'm really excited. We have a lot of scriptures in store. I am actually pre-recording this. There are some things that I have to complete today, and quite frankly, there's been a lot of instability within my own internet, so I find that if I record it earlier, that it produces a better quality of video so that you'll be able to view it. The only downside to that is that if you have any real-time questions or real-time responses, obviously I'm not going to be able to see it in real time if this has been recorded earlier. So anyway, I'm Minister James Pope from Mount Calvary Miracle Temple Apostolic Church. Our pastor is Suffragan Bishop-elect Johnny Magnus. And we want to thank God for just allowing the opportunity for me to be able to speak before you all. Won't you bow your heads with me in a word of prayer? Father, we want to thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We ask that you bless, Lord, the teaching this afternoon and this evening. We ask that you help us, Lord, to hear what you're saying to the church, that you help somebody right now that needs you. Help someone to repent, Lord. Help someone to grow. Help someone to have a relationship with you, Jesus, to be able to hear your words, Lord, to be able to know you. And Lord, help us, Lord, to be what you're calling for in these last and evil days. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, really excited. Like I said, I have a tons of scriptures this evening. You might be asking yourself, well, what am I going to be talking about? Well, this afternoon and this evening, we're going to be talking about how to go through. How to go through. And so the first set of scriptures we're going to be reading from is found in 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, verse number 3 and 4. And here the Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. This is around the first century. And it states, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." Again, "For though we walk in the flesh," so though we are yet in our physical bodies, in our mortal bodies, "we do not war after the flesh." So just a little bit of context here. Warring after the flesh. If you look at the word war, it's from the Greek word strateo. And it means to engage in a conflict, wage battle, and fight. To engage in a conflict, wage battle, fight. So what does that mean? That means that, and again, the Apostle Paul is talking to people who are in the church. The Apostle Paul is talking to people who know Jesus, who have accepted Jesus. We have repented of all of our sins. We have been baptized in his name. We have received his spirit. And Paul is addressing the New Testament church. And I'm talking to everyone who's going through something right now, particularly those who are in the body of Christ, if you're saved. Now, if you're not saved, I don't want you to think that this does not apply to you this evening, because it does apply to you. But just know that if you want to get closer to the Lord, you can through repentance, repenting of your sins, being baptized in his name and receiving his spirit. But if you're going through something today, I want to address all those who are going through stuff. You know, we don't like to talk a lot about what we go through. It's even part of our culture. Have you ever noticed when you ever introduce yourself to someone else? What do we normally say? "Hi, my name is James. You know, I've been married for, you know, 13 years. We talk about how what our names are, what our profession is, how long we've been married, how many kids we have. We normally tend to talk about all of the good things in our life. We don't normally tell everybody about all the different private things in our lives, right? You know, hi, my name is James. I'm about to be evicted. My car is being repossessed. Do you have a dollar? No, we don't do that stuff, do we? Hey, my name is James. I'm going through. I've got this. I'm going through this stage of, you know, this diagnosis, that diagnosis. We tend not to do that normally. And also within church culture, I've noticed that in the church, we typically don't do that because we like to think about, we like to think on positive things, things that are above. Well, this is no different. The only thing that I would add today is that we're all going through something, you know. You never know what someone else is going through, right? Unless they let you know. But everyone's going through something. Everyone's going through this. Everyone's going through that. So this evening, I want to talk to the people, and this is particularly created for those who are going through something, okay? I'm not really talking to everybody who's got everything together. All right. I'm not talking about everything is perfect. I'm talking about, no, there's some things going on. And I'm not necessarily talking about sin, although I could be talking about sin, but we'll be talking about the remedy for that. But I'm talking about you're saved, you're sanctified, you're filled with the Holy Ghost. You're going through something. Well, the message this evening is how to go through. How to go through. You want to know how to go through what you're going through. And like I said, again, so Paul is writing, he's saying, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Okay. We don't engage in conflict after the flesh. We don't wage battle after the flesh. We don't fight after the flesh. So the weapons of our warfare are spiritual. They're not carnal. Okay, we're going to be talking about how we fight. I'm not talking about people who are going through something that is ambiguous, something that is made up, something that is not certain. No, I mean, you got to understand something. You're going through something. You need a keeper. You need something to keep you in the midst of your test. You need something to keep you, someone to keep you. And that person is Jesus Christ. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. So the way that we're supposed to fight, according to Paul, now notice he says, and we go back up to verse number 3, for though we walk in the flesh, he understands we are in our natural bodies. Paul understood that. We are yet in our mortal bodies. He's not talking about people that have gone on to glory yet. He's talking about people who are yet in their mortal bodies. I'm in my mortal body right now. So how am I supposed to fight? Am I supposed to fight with this? With my physical fists? With my physical hands? No, Paul doesn't say that. He says, we do not war. And again, war means to engage in conflict or wage battle or fight after the flesh. So we don't fight with this any longer. We're not supposed to fight with any longer. Well, how, Brother Pope, then how are we supposed to fight? Because I've got a diagnosis, because I've got a divorce. I've got this going on. I've got this sickness. I've got this repossession. I've got this eviction. I've got people on the job talking about me. I mean, I've got people threatening to fire me because I'm lifting up the name of Jesus. I've got all these different things happening to me. How am I supposed to fight? Well, in verse number 4, and I know I'm repeating myself, it says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. The mighty. The world looks at our prayer as weak in many instances. Oh, you ain't going to do nothing about that? You just going to sit there and pray? No, they don't see the spirituality. The Bible says that the weapons of our warfare, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not fleshly. They're not of the flesh, but they're mighty. So God is mighty. Would you agree? I'd agree. God is mighty, but God is spirit. Can you see God? I can't see God. And in St. John chapter 4, the scripture says that no one has seen God at any time. But yet you and I would agree that God is mighty. Well, let's bring it to those who are spiritual. If our God is still mighty and we pray, are we physically doing, are we physically combating? Are we physically fighting? No, we are not doing that because that is not how we operate. That's not how we fight. We fast and pray. Now, the world may look at that as being meaningless. Oh, you didn't do anything. That nothing could have came about because of that. I beg to differ. Our warfare is mighty. Our weapons are mighty because we don't operate on a natural level, on a spiritual level. We don't operate in a fleshly level. We operate in a spiritual level. And that's why they can't see the things. They can't see the things of God. They don't know how to interpret the things of God. And so I want to let you know, I know that many of you right now are going through a lot of pressure. You're enduring. You're holding on to the faith. Keep up the fight. Keep up the fight. Keep the faith. We're going to go now into 1 John, the second chapter, verses 15 through 17. And it reads, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." And let me just mark where I'm reading really quick so I can pull it up again. And that's 1 John chapter number 2. And then, and again, that just came from 15 through 17. Okay? 15 through 17. Okay. So, how to go through. How to go through. You want to know how am I supposed to go through? So you got to understand first that those who are saved right now, there's a way that we go through our tests. There's a certain way that we grow. There's a certain way that we're led by the Spirit. I'm talking about a fight right now. You are in a fight. You are under some pressure. You are under some persecution. You want to know, how is it that you're supposed to make it? How should you conduct yourself as a child of God, as a son of God, as a daughter of God? How are you going to be able to conduct yourself? Let me quote, I'm going to quote Mike Tyson. And I'm just going to be real tonight. I'm going to be practical. Mike Tyson has a famous quote that I've heard a lot of people use. I'm going to quote this evening. Mike Tyson, if you don't know who Mike Tyson is, he is a former heavyweight boxing champion of the world. And he says, "Everyone has a plan until they get punched in the mouth." Now, you might say, well, did Brother Pope just say that? Well, I'm not talking about a natural. Now, he might be talking about a natural fight. But I'm talking about a spiritual fight this evening and this afternoon. What does that mean? Everyone has a plan until they get punched in the mouth. Well, he would probably say that once he is able to connect that hit, the whole strategy that the opponent had, the opponent may have had a strategy, may have had a certain type of way of choosing the box all set up. But what Mike Tyson was trying to say is as soon as that person gets hit, people tend to forget, or he was alluding to, people tend to forget their strategy. People begin to forget their battle plans. What I'm saying tonight is anticipate. There's going to be some hits along the way. We're in a battle. This isn't supposed to feel good. The scripture says to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So we are supposed to be soldiers in the Lord. And there's a way that we are to conduct ourselves. Love not the things, Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Does that mean you have to hate everyone? No. Bible is not telling us to go around hating people. Bible says, for God so loved the world. Does that mean there's a contradiction? No, but we have to rightly divide the word of truth. The Lord loves everyone, else he would not have died for us. So he would not have given himself for us if he didn't love us. So obviously he loves us, but we don't love the things of the world. Just like Jesus didn't like what they were doing in the temple, right? He was so upset at what they were doing because they were making the house of prayer and they were turning it into a den of thieves. He had to drive the evilness and the corruption out of that place to make it clean again, to make it holy again. And that is exactly what the Lord has done for us. He loves us, but he despises the sin. He still drives it out. You know, Jesus was driving that out in his earthly ministry, and he's still driving it out today in his spiritual ministry. That is what he's doing. He is removing the impurities from the temple. So he says, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. What does that mean? The things of the world, sin. So if I love sin and I embrace sin and I lift up the things of the world, I'm not lifting up Christ because I'm actually going against what Jesus Christ died for. So I have to learn how to rightly divide the word of truth. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And you're wondering, you know, but Brother Pope, you talked about how to go through. Well, how am I supposed to go through? What are you talking about? Well, I just want to add that fighting is not pretty. It's not pretty. You may lose friends and family because of the truth. Okay? So fighting is not designed to be a pretty thing. I may remind you, but the way that we fight, well, how do we fight, Brother Pope? The way that we fight as being children of God, we let our Father do the fighting for us. But Brother Pope, what do you mean fighting? That bill wasn't addressed to Jesus. It was addressed to me. That bill came in my name, and I didn't have enough money to pay it. Okay. Well, Brother Pope, they weren't talking about Jesus on the job. They called me out. They were talking about me on the job. So how are you saying that I'm not supposed to be the one that's fighting? Well, even though they addressed, even though those fiery darts came into your direction, even though they were thrusted into your direction, because the Lord is with us, because he is our protector, because his name is a high tower that we run to in times of trouble, he has given us the tools and the armor to protect us. And he's also given us a weapon to fight with. But may I remind you that it's the Lord's battle. But I'm in the battle, Brother Pope. I'm the one that's got the diagnosis. I'm the one who my friends and family are talking about. I'm the one who they're talking about on the job. I'm the one. So how could, what are you talking about? What we have to learn as being children of God is to learn how to give things over to the Lord. The Bible says to endure hardness as a good soldier. So we have to, even though we are in the fight, we have to allow the Lord to fight our battles. He's going to give us the shield. He's going to give us the armor, the whole armor of God. He's going to give us weapons to fight with, but it's him who's doing the fighting. I know that this might be very confusing to a natural person. Well, Brother Pope, I don't understand a word that you're saying. How are we fighting but not yet fighting? Well, because the battle is already won. And I'm talking to those who are spiritual right now. The battle is already won. Jesus died for us, but yet because we're still on this earth, we have to endure. And sometimes that's where the fight comes in. That's where the effort comes in. We have to endure, and it doesn't feel good to endure in the flesh, does it not? Does it? And so we have to learn how to go through, learn how to go through. So may I just suggest that you don't give up regardless of your circumstances. Don't give up. And I know that, you know, there's many people around the world who are actually going through. They're being persecuted. They're being martyred for the name of Jesus. They're being put into prison because they refused to bow down on principles. They refused to renounce the name of Jesus. And our brothers and sisters are going through all over the world. It may not have happened over here on the Western Hemisphere or the Northern Hemisphere just as of yet. I believe it's coming. I believe our day is coming. And I believe that subtly we do go through certain levels of persecution. And I don't want to minimize anyone's persecution at all. But what, all I'm merely trying to say is that there are some people who have refused this world, refused the things of the world, even unto death. They've been thrown into prison for lifting up the name of Jesus. In 1 John chapter 2, verse number 17, it also says, "And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." So if I go back into number 16, number 16, let's talk about the things that are in the world. So there's different, I'm going to break this down. Yeah, I'm not going to go ahead and break this down as of yet, but I'm going to go ahead and just break some other things down, and I'm going to come back to this, because I do want to talk about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. What does that mean? What does that entail? And so we'll come back to that, because I know I don't have much time. If you can turn with me to the book of Galatians, the 5th chapter, verses 16 and 17. That's Galatians, the 5th chapter, verse number 16 and 17. Again, this is the Apostle Paul writing to the church of Galatia. And he says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit." Now, whenever you see an ETH, that means continues to, or if you can just add an S at the end, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, or the flesh continues to lust against the Spirit, and the Spirit continues, or the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. And so if you're a child of God, you have to understand that there is going to be that type of conflict. The flesh is always going to be against the things of the Spirit. The Spirit is always going to be against the things of the flesh. Okay, very rarely do they make an agreement together. You're only going to have one winner. You're going to have the flesh who's going to win, or the Spirit is going to win. And so we understand that, being children of God. So when we go through, my first bullet point is to be humble. Be humble. In 1 Peter chapter number 5, verses 6 through 11, again, that's 1 Peter chapter number 5, verses 6 through 11. It reads, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Okay, so what does that mean? That means if we're humble in the Lord, going back to it, I just love rereading some of these things, because that's the way that I teach. A lot of times I'll teach by repetition. 1 Peter, again, chapter 5, verse number 8, be sober. So it's the Lord's will for you to be alert. And a way that we're alert is we're not doing a bunch of drugs. We're not trying to do things that are unlawful, and we have to be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. What does that mean? If I knew that a natural lion was in my presence or in my midst, I'm going to make sure that I'm sober-minded. I'm not going to try to, no, I don't want to be drowsy. I'm not trying to sleep the night away. No, I need to know, if I know there's a lion out there and that lion is trying to get me, I need to be alert. And when we're alert, we can see the devil coming. We can see him going. We can see whenever he's getting close. We can see whenever he's distant. But the devil is looking for food. The devil is looking to feed off of something. I know that I'm cranking this up, and we're going about 100 miles a minute here, but I'm going to get scriptural on you. If we go into the book of Genesis, one of the first punishments that we see is that the serpent, once sin is committed by Adam and Eve, because Eve was the one caught up in the transgression, God is telling the serpent, you're going to be on your belly all the days of your life, and you're going to eat of what? Of the dust of the earth. Well, if you scroll back a little bit in Genesis, God creates a human being. God creates Adam. And how does God create Adam? From the dust of the earth. What does that mean? Satan feeds off of the flesh. He feeds off of what we are made of. But God breathed into him the breath of life, right? And so we understand that we are also children of God. Now, the first man, Adam, he was created of God. But the second Adam that we read about in, I believe it's Corinthians, it talks about that was Jesus Christ, because he was able to do what Adam did not do. He was able to be obedient, and he was able to get his people out of their sins. Again, going back up, oh, that's the wrong scripture. I want to go to, again, reading that second one. We're talking about that lion. All right. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So just know that the same type of afflictions, the same type of tests, we may feel like we're all alone. We may feel like we're suffering and we're going through all these afflictions alone, and no one could possibly understand what we're going through. Well, the Bible says that there are all, our brothers and sisters are all over the world. They're going through too. And so they understand, but just know that even if you feel like you're all alone, Jesus has been tempted in every way possible like we are, yet he was able to stand the test. He didn't have any spot, wrinkles, or blemish, and he was able to be triumphant. Amen? So going back to that, again, that 1 Peter, let's go to 1 Peter chapter number 5, verse 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. But it all goes back to, I think I skipped this one, and that's the main one I was trying to get to. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 7. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. So it's very important that as we go through, we humble ourselves. We stay humble. You and I, we ain't better than nobody else. We ain't better than nobody. And sometimes we like to, in this present world, if you have a certain amount of money, you get the best seats. Next time you go to a ball game or something, you'll notice that there are certain seating arrangements. Certain people get the best seats. You know, most of the time, if you're the richest, you get the best seats. And if you didn't pay that much for your ticket, well, then you get the seats where it might be standing room only, or far away from where the event is taking place. In this world, if you're related to certain people, you get higher prestige, higher honor. Whereas if you're a person that you may not have a good pedigree, maybe according to well-known people in this world, well, then people may treat you a certain way. But we don't do that in God. In God, we have to stay humble, remembering what we're made out of, okay? Going back to the dust, we are made from the dust of the earth. It's God who has set us aside. It's God who has set us apart. It's God who has made us distinct and different. It's God who has set us aside. It's God who has made us holy. It's God who has made us sacred. It's God who has kept us. So we have to remember, though, that we're just dust. When I, you know, forbid, you know, I die, my natural body, this hand right here, is going back into the ground. These hands right here going back into the ground. The arms going back into the ground. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. It's got to go back to the ground. It's probably going to be eaten up by the worms, right? I know it's pretty graphic, but that's the truth. So what separates me now from then? Well, I have the life of God in me while I'm yet living in my mortal body. I have to glorify. I want to glorify God while I'm yet in my flesh. So Paul was acknowledging, yes, we are living in the flesh, but we don't walk after the flesh. We walk after the spirit. And we shouldn't be fulfilling the lust of the flesh or the pride of life or anything like that. So we have to be humble. We have to be humble. So yeah, and this is where I want to mark it right here, because this is the latter half. Now I want to just knock on your door right now. The Lord is leading me to knock on your spiritual door right now in Jesus' name. Let's get personal. The Spirit wants to get personal this evening, so let's let him. Let's let the Spirit get personal. Amen? And bear with me right now. This is bold. Jesus. Who do you think you are? So your boss talked about you. So your boss embarrassed you. They gave you that job. You asked for that job. God gave you that job. Now you have to do what the Lord told you to do. And keep in mind, brothers and sisters, there's certain jobs that we can't have. There's certain jobs that we just got to expect. We're going to go through if we have them. But I remember one time I started in Cleveland. I was a bellhop in the Key Bank building, worked for Marriott, and I was rushing. I was going to school at the same time. I think I had a total of two jobs going to school. I was busy. Wasn't married yet. I was single, but I was busy, busy, busy. And I remember being a bellhop, you're supposed to iron, you're supposed to be pressed, and you had to come to that job clean. And I remember I put my suit on, and it was some sort of group team meeting right before we started work. And my boss, she looked at me, and I guess I was a little wrinkled. You know, I guess I didn't iron the way up to her expertise. And she called me out in front of everybody. James, what are you doing? Look at how wrinkled you are. Look at you. You need to go back down. You need to get that together. You need to get that together. And any little bit of pride that I had was gone. I had to let go of that stuff. I had to let go. I felt that old man was trying to come back, because I wanted to defend myself. I wanted to tell, but Holy Ghost wouldn't let me do it. And I thank God I obeyed the Holy Ghost. I just kept my mouth shut. I had to be humble. I mean, she was right. I was wrinkled. And I was representing that particular business. And so because she was my employer, I had to listen to her. And she was right, even though I didn't like at the time how she was saying it, I listened to her. And then I went downstairs, I ironed myself up in the locker room, came back up, pressed, clean, went back up to her, approached her. And I, you know what I told her? I said, and the Holy Ghost, I said, thank you. That's what the Holy Ghost said. Thank you. Thank you for telling me the truth. I suppose she was probably thinking I was going to say something else, but she said this in front of all my coworkers. It was very embarrassing. I told her, thank you. From that day forward, anytime. And this was, you're talking about, I was probably 20, 21, just I mean, I was pretty young, y'all. She was a middle-aged woman. And from that day forward, anytime she had any spiritual concerns, anytime she needed somebody to pray for her, anytime she had any matters that were serious, that were personal, she would always pull me aside and she would ask me to pray. So there's something about following the Holy Ghost. There's something about listening to the Lord and letting the Lord use us, but we have to stay humble. So who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? And that goes to me too. Who do we think that we are? We're dust. We're children of God, but we're housed in dust. And we have to learn to stay humble. I heard it brought to my attention that in some way we're kind of like welcome mats, right? We get walked on, and yet we still say, welcome, welcome. So am I saying that's easy? No, that takes discipline, not natural discipline, but spiritual discipline, fasting and prayer. And saints, I know, look, and this is a very humbling topic and teaching to even talk about this evening, because there are many of you all who are far more advanced spiritually than I am. Many of you have been in the church way longer than I have. And many of you haven't gone through the test that I have. You know, as far as you're leaps and years beyond me. And then there are some who have not yet attained the test that I have been through. And so what I'm trying to say is, no, I know that even by me talking about this, I'm able to talk about these types of things because I have been through certain tests. And the Bible lets me know that I'm supposed to prepare myself to go through further tests. Okay. So how to go through with the Lord. Again, half the Bible class was leading me to this point, and then half the Bible class, we're going to get pretty particular here. And so, again, I'm saying to stay humble. Now, this Bible class isn't directed to one particular person at all. So if there's anybody saying, oh, Brother Pope is talking about me, or, you know, he's talking about me, I know he is. No, I'm not. Believe me, I'm not. I've been praying, and the Lord has been guiding me, and the Lord has been showing me that there's a certain way that we should be going through, how to go through. If you want anything from the Lord, you got to be humble. You got to be humble. What does humble mean? You got to put others first, and you got to prefer them before yourself. That means if we're about to eat, there's a long line. Let them folks stand up in the line in front of you. Go ahead. Let the elderly get their food before you. Prefer them. Let's help them. Well, that person just talked about me. So be it. Then they talked about you. It doesn't matter. We're dust. Dust doesn't have a say-so. Dust gets trampled on, you know. And I know that it doesn't feel right. Not the flesh doesn't like that, but the spirit thrives in it. The spirit is able to grow in it. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he'll lift you up. Don't lift yourself up. Did y'all see me? Y'all know who I am? You know how many degrees I have? You know what I've been through? You know what jobs I've had? You know how much money I make? No. You're lifting yourself up. You're not going to have a reward. That is your reward. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. In the sight of the Lord. Well, doesn't the Lord see everything? Yes. But in the secret place, when the doors are shut, when the curtains are closed, are you still humbling yourself at home? Are you still treating your kids right, your wife right, your husband right? Your husband right, your mother right, your father right? Are you still treating your brothers and sisters right? Are we still treating our family members right? A lot of times, no, we're not. We're not humbling ourselves in that respect. We humble ourselves at church, but we go home, we lift ourselves up with pride. So we have to learn to humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift us up. I'm reminded of Zechariah, John the Baptist's father, who he wasn't able to speak because God held his tongue. He wasn't able to speak until the birth of John, until it was acknowledged who John would be, and it was acknowledged the name of the baby would be John. But what I admire about Zechariah is that he could not speak until it was the Lord who worked it out. Get that, what I'm saying? He was unable to speak until the Lord moved and allowed him to speak. Sometimes we need to be more like Zechariah. Why? We do too much talking. We don't need to be speaking all the time, especially us younger folks in the presence of our elders. What do we have to say to them? We should not say anything but listening. Now, I'm not talking about, now does that mean that we have to be silent all the time? No, I believe that God has called us to be teachers and pastors and evangelists and all these other different things. But what I'm saying is we need to respect our elders, and that takes humility. Now, I've taken a lot of time on being humble. And again, if you want to know more about that, 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 11. The second one we'll go to is in James, the first chapter. So if you turn with me to James, the first chapter, verse number 13 through 15. Amen. Again, we're talking about how do we go through? Well, we know we're supposed to be humble, right? So in verse number 13, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So let no man say that he's tempted of God. And you and I may be going through certain situations, certain battles, certain illnesses, certain this, that, and the other, and it doesn't feel comfortable with the flesh. What I'm reminding you is don't blame God. That's my second bullet point. Don't blame God. God is not tempting us. Now, God will use that temptation to strengthen us. He can use these things. He can use these things to allow us to grow. But God does not tempt us. That's the devil doing the tempting. That was the devil who tempted Jesus in the wilderness. And it's the devil who tempts us today. Right? But we should not blame God. You know, don't blame God for your predicament. What power hath the clay over the potter? The potter has power over the clay. So you are who you are because God wants you to be you. I am who I am because God wants me to be me. And whenever we start to get angry at God and, well, I wish I was, well, if I had it like them and if I had that silver spoon in my mouth like them over there, who do you think? I'm not trying to be rude. I'm not trying to minimize it. I'm speaking in the spirit. Who do you think you are? We need to humble ourselves in God. We need to fast. A lot of our problems are because we're not fasting any longer. I'm convinced we need to start fasting more. And I'm not just talking about, anybody can just fast. No, I'm talking about a spiritual fast, not just talking about going without food, but going without food and yet meditating on God and praying in your mind, praying in your spirit, knowing that he has control over your body, over my body. Let him in control. Don't blame God because of your situation. Well, I've got this, or I've got that, or I'm doing this, or that. God didn't do that. Let's not blame God when we go through. Let's be humble when we go through. And you know another thing, saints? We ain't got to tell everybody when we're going through. You know? And I think that comes with maturity. I know, and when I was younger, there was a couple reasons I would tell people my test. Now, a lot of times I felt like I couldn't have made it unless I told the older saints, especially my pastors at the time. I've had a few pastors in my time, but whenever I'd go through some big tests, I need some help. And the only reason I would tell those who were spiritual of what I was going through is because I know that they had my best interest at heart and I needed help to pray through what I was going through. But does that mean we should tell everyone that we're going through? No, please don't. In fact, you know, my suggestion is If you have someone who is spiritual, like a spiritual leader or a pastor, let your pastor know what's going on if you feel like they need to know. But don't tell everybody your business. And that goes, and that's something I had to learn, you know, marital advice too. And I mean, this is just something that I've learned through the years. If we're going through a lot of stuff, and I could throw Sister Pope in with myself, if Sister Pope and I are having problems, if we're having issues, and I'm telling everybody about our problems, everybody about our issues, everybody, I'm not talking, yeah, including the, if I tell the pastor, I'm not just talking about the pastor, but I'm telling everybody else, all the people in the world, all my natural family, everybody knows my business now. And let's say me and Sister Pope sort it out. We good. We're solid. We make it through. We grow. We get past it. I get past it. She gets past it. But guess who ain't past it? You ain't past it. You want to know why? Because I told you and you're not praying. So we have to really be careful. Another thing, sometimes we tell our business and then we're mad because the people we told our business to is telling other people because they're not spiritual. I don't care how long they've been in the church. If they're telling personal stuff like that, let me tell you something. When you tell personal stuff like that and you talk about other people, that's gossiping. It's not doing anything for that other person. You ain't praying for that other person. You're talking down on them, which is subconsciously, it's lifting you up. Because in a way, by you talking down about that person, it's condescending. And in a way, it's lifting you up. And that's not the way that God wants to lift us up. The Bible says that humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. But when we talk about other people, and we talk about all their problems, we talk about all their business, we're putting them down and we're lifting ourselves up in pride. And that's not how God wants to operate in our lives. So let's not blame God. Let's be humble. Let's be, if we're going through anything, if you're going through, let those who are spiritual know. Now, am I saying you can't ever tell anybody? No, absolutely not. I'm not saying that at all. Because there are some things that I've gone through that the Lord has given me so that I can use in my testimony, in my preaching, in my teaching to elevate Jesus Christ and also the people of God. Okay? But when I'm going through, I'm merely saying, I want you to ask yourself, should I be telling everyone my business or... is this something that I should maybe let those that have the rule over me know? And then when you let somebody who's spiritual know what you're going through, they know how to fast and pray for you so that until maybe perhaps you can learn how to fast and pray for yourself. So how to go through? We need to learn how to go through. I think that this is a lost art in some respects. We don't know how to go through any longer. I think that there's something wrong with us when we don't know how to go through. We lose half of our blessings because we don't know how to go through properly. As soon as something happens, we try to retaliate a lot of times. So, that's my next point. In Luke chapter 11, verse number 17, Luke 11 and 17. And again, Jesus is speaking generally. He's in this specific instance, he's talking about Satan, but he's also talking about all kingdoms. Okay? So notice he's talking about every kingdom. And he's saying, but he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, every kingdom. So literally, every kingdom, every infrastructure, everything that's been put together, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falleth. Let me read that again. But he knoweth their thoughts, said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falleth. So what does that mean? That means that when we go through, some things we go through some tough stuff, okay? And it's very easy to look at our brothers and sisters and say, wait a minute, they're not going through what I'm going through. And it's very easy to get very, what's the right word? Maybe angry, upset, resentful against people that we're around because they're not necessarily going through what we're going through. We may not be going through what they're going through, but they're not going through what we're going through. And so it's easy to lash out against God, against the people of God, against our spiritual leaders, against one another. Don't get mad at the saints, y'all, because a house divided against itself ain't going to stand. So that's why I say, watch who you tell your stuff to. You know, our stuff should be used to help one another. So there's some tests that you're going to go through. I'll never know about because God has led you to never share it with me. There's some things the Lord has led you to share with me because that's part of your testimony. Maybe that's part of your ministry. And thank you for sharing it with me. But there are other things we don't need to tell everything or else we're going to lose our blessing. We're going to lose what we have. And I want my blessings. I want my rewards. I don't know about you. I want mine. So we're a house and we want I can talk about my natural house. I have a home here. I want our home to be unified. I want us to be solid. I want us to be strong in the Lord. And so we want to make sure that we're strong because in a lot of instances, we're placed here to help other people in our community, right? I want our church to be strong. I'm a member of Mount Calvary Miracle Temple, and I don't want to tear down Mount Calvary Miracle Temple. I want to build up Mount Calvary Miracle Temple Apostolic Church. So I ain't going to talk about my pastor, not negative. Pastor, I do talk about you, by the way. I talk about you, but it's all good. So I say all good things. I talk about many of you, but best believe it's all good things. But when it's negative like that, no. When you start to talk about negative things about one another, then that's tearing that individual down. Now you might say, but what if there's something that's contrary to the word of God? Well, there's a remedy to that. And I don't have enough time to go into it, but the Bible does talk about, you know, going to that person in private. If they don't receive you, get a witness, go to that person, tell them about that fault, about that thing that you have against them. If they don't hear you, then, you take the matters and then you can take that matter publicly before the church, according to the word of God. But I'm not talking about that particular thing right now. I'm just saying that we need to be solid, you know? So if you see something that you don't like, you know, and again, pray for me. So how do we go through? We got to stay humble. We don't blame God. We don't blame the church. We need to learn how to go through. Another scripture I found, or a set of scriptures I found, is 1 Peter chapter 3. I don't know if I wrote this down. Chapter 3. Did I write this down? I don't think so. Oh, yeah, I did. Yeah, I did. So if you go with me to, I don't think I did it. I don't think I wrote it down. Okay. So next point I'll just mention the point. You can find this scripture in 1 Peter chapter number 3, verses 8 through 16. 1 Peter chapter number 3, verses 8 through 16. And my point was to prepare for the times when you will be lied on. Okay. So I had to get used to this in my ministry, in my walk with God. Just being a child of God, there may be times when people lie on you. Okay. Now the first instinct, if you're not spiritual and if you're leaning toward carnal, you're going to try to clean that up. You know, we're not like the world in a sense. You know, if you're a celebrity and the public finds out about some sort of misdeed or some type of conspiracy or something that's happened, they try to get ahead of the narrative, right? They try to get with their PR person and they try to clean it up, and they figure that if they can get ahead of it, that they can try to clean it up. Well, the house of God is a little bit different. Okay. There's going to be times when people lie on you, or there may be rumors going on around about you. You can't control that. You might want to try to say against it, this, that, and the other. And there are remedies for that. Again, going back to if there's somebody who is passing falsehoods. There's a remedy. Pull them aside. Let them know what's going on. But there's a lot of times where the Lord just tells me, no, James, hold your peace. All right. One time, I don't want to repeat it. I'm not going to repeat it. But I heard it, and it was so astonishing that I couldn't even believe the lie. And I wanted to say something against it. I wanted to call everybody who was circulating that rumor, and the Lord just said, no, no, no. I didn't tell you to try to get ahead of it. You take it. So, child of God, how do you go through? How to go through? What's something else you do? You be humble. You don't blame God. You don't blame the church when you go through. You prepare for the times when you will be lied on. And I gave you those scriptures for 1 Peter chapter number 3, verses 8 through 16. And another thing, another bullet point I'm just going to add, is you just got to learn how to take it. Learn how to take it. There are some situations where the Lord is just saying, stand still and see the salvation of God. We're the ones who want to try to fix it. And again, there's nothing wrong with wanting to have a good name. Some of us have worked really hard for that good name that the Lord has put in us. It's not us of ourselves. It's the Holy Ghost in us. God has given us the Holy Ghost. He's given us power. We're living right. We're living all we know how to live. And God, many of us have really good names. Well, no one wants to see their good names tarnished, right? Especially for falsehoods and people lying on them. All I'm saying is that many times, the Lord has told me, no, I don't want you to try to get ahead of it. I don't want you to try to fix it. Don't try to fix it up. Don't try to clear it up. You just keep your mouth shut. And eventually what happens is people who were told those rumors about me or this, that, and the other, they'll normally see, no, that was a lie. James ain't like that. James ain't like this. James ain't like that, because I'm following after the Lord, because you're following after the Lord. And I know you want to clean it up, and I know it hurts. I know it hurts when people lie on you. Now, again, segue. Let's suppose that the rumors are true. But Brother Pope, I did some of that. Brother Pope, I actually did some of that. Well, what my advice to you, my suggestion for you, is to humble yourself in the sight of the Lord so he can lift you up. You know, if you've made a mistake, if you've sinned against God, if you were unintentional, if you were intentional, God, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 1 and 9, he's able to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God is a good God. He's faithful and he's just. He'll clean you up from that. But, you know, sometimes you're going to just have to go through, especially if you done told everybody that you're saved and you done messed up or you went astray somewhere. And now the Lord brings you back. Now you just got to have to take it. Don't talk about me. Don't try to clean it up. Sometimes the Lord just allows us to take it. I just want you to take it, but I can't take it. It's too much pressure. Well, are you fasting and are you praying? Okay. The reason why you feel that pressure is because you're not holding up your shield. If you're holding up your shield, that fiery dart wouldn't get a hold of you. But now that you have some faith in the Lord, you're shielded. And now it's not hitting you because the Lord is the one who's fighting your battle. And you're able to fight. I was talking to my wife yesterday about a good, what would we say? A good defense is a good offense. You know, sometimes we have to go on the offensive. There's a time and there's a place, you know, to have the sword of the Spirit and to use the word of God appropriately and properly. Now we're going to, we have to keep our eyes on Jesus. So how do we go through? We have to be humble in Jesus. We don't blame God. We don't blame the church. We prepare for times when we will be lied on. Okay, we keep our eyes on Jesus and we learn to take it. There's some things we just got to learn to take it. We take our hits. We got to learn to take it. Notice the Lord is fighting our battles anyway, but that doesn't mean we're not going to be clear of pressure. We're not going to be clear of enduring. And I'm closing this up because I have about less than a minute. We ought to trust in God despite our feelings. And we ought to also listen to God. So trusting in God despite our feelings, I was going to break down Colossians chapter number 3, verses 1 through 6. And I was talking about keep our affection on things above, not on things below, and listening to God because he's already speaking, learning that God, you know, Lord, just show me a sign. Lord, speak to me, speak to me. God is already speaking. The problem is that a lot of times we're not listening to him. So let us learn how to listen to him. So how do we go through in the Lord? How do we go through? We are supposed to be humble. We don't blame God. We don't blame the church. We prepare for times when we will be lied on. We keep our eyes on Jesus. We learn to just take it and stand still in the Lord so we can see his salvation. We learn to trust in God despite our own personal feelings. And we also learn to listen to God because he's already speaking. We learn to listen to God. So that's all I have this evening. I pray that there's something said that may have helped somebody. We are Mount Calvary Miracle Temple Apostolic Church at 1004 North Osage Avenue in Okmulgee, Oklahoma, 74447, where our pastor is Suffragan Bishop-elect Johnny Magnus. We have services normally. Normally, we have Sunday school at 11 a.m. on Sunday mornings, and then we have our morning worship at around 12 noon, around that time, around 12 noon. And normally we have also, if you want to be hooked up with our Friday night prayer, just send a message to me or the pastor or one of the other ministers. We can relay the message so that you get an invite to our prayers that we have on Friday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time is normally online. So it's like a prayer call. So it normally lasts for about an hour. So God bless you. Thank you for being with us this evening. I hope that something could help someone. And again, let's trust in Jesus. And that is how I go through.